So I guess this will be our last class for Chodesh Iyar. I want to add in another point about Iyar, which I feel is very significant for Shavuos, and really relates to what we spoke about the past few weeks. We spoke about, I think, 2 weeks ago, the idea of growing step by step. And we spoke about last week the idea of Midos, growing as a mensch, Ben Lechavero. So this week also, I want to discuss another element of growth, and the common denominator is that we're getting ready for Kabbalah Torah. In Shavuos is where Hashem comes to us yearly to give us the Torah fresh. It's a new Kabbalah Torah, so we have to be ready for that. And if we're not the right receptacle, the right kibble, the right vessel for the Torah, then we can't really receive it. So there's another aspect of Iyar which I think is very significant to help us get ready for Kabbalah Torah. Interesting thing is Chodesh Iyar is designated as a month for refuah, for good health. So we would say it's simply, you know, outside the weather's nice, and nice weather always helps us feel good and feel fresh, no more cold, hopefully it's not too rainy. But there's actually a segula in Iyar for good health, and I'll read it to you. If you look at the handouts, B'nai Sassar, which I think is the front page of the handout, right in the top right there, Os Gimel, he describes this concept. And he says, Chodesh Iyar hu nivcha nimanusa b'chama sarafua. Chodesh Iyar is tried and tested in terms of refuah, healing. Shemasugol l'refuah, it's a month which is, you know, masugol has a segula, it's designated for refuah. L'haraka in stumcha min ha'ipushim v'chush samara. It's able to rid the stomach of all, you know, waste and bad things. You know, that's the one of the concepts of Iyar. Where does that come from? So if you look down in the footnotes in the bottom, I marked it off, Yud Gimel. So he quotes here the Gemara, Masech HaShabbos, Ka'am Ramzal, like it says in the Gemara, Kuhu Shakyani. Now, all liquids that are for medication, midivcha avaratzerta malu, they're beneficial from Pesach through Shavuos. So the Gemara says there's something about Pesach through Shavuos. This time of year, Chodesh Iyar, Sefer Omer, that makes medicines work better. Because of Chasm Sofer, the Chasm Sofer writes, Hainu Chodesh Iyar, this is Iyar, the remez pasuk ki ani Hashem rofecha. So you find a remez to this in the pasuk, for I am Hashem, your rofe, your doctor, your healer. Rosh Tevos, Iyar. So ani Hashem rofecha is Rosh Tevos of the month of Iyar. The oivai yeshuvu yavoshu raga. Another pasuk at Tehillim, that my enemies shall retreat and they shall be ashamed immediately. That's also who Iyar b'shni yudin. This is also Iyar with two yuds. Oiva yashuvu yavoshu raga. So that's also a remnant to Iyar. Shemizmor medaber v'kishay David chol v'srab. But that capital Tehillim is talking about when David was sick and got healed. So David there, his enemies, means his illness. And we see that there's a remnant both in the pasuk and Chumash, ani Hashem rofecha, and remnant in Tehillim that Iyar is a month of refuah. So that's what we see. And this is all based in this Gemara in Masech HaShabbos that during Iyar, in Sefiras HaOmer, time between Pesach and Shavuos, and those times are when medicines are more effective. So certainly we can all daven for refuahs, those who need refuahs in Klal Yisrael, this is an ideal time to daven, that's for sure. But it's very interesting that, like, why this time of year, in terms of getting ready for Kabbalah Torah, in terms of Shavuos, like, how does this tie in exactly? Where does this fit in our time frame right now? So it means physical health, obviously. The word Iyar also, other sources quote, is the gematria of the word erech. Erech aleph resh chaf is also a term for healing. Ki elu aruchalach, we say, I will bring you aruchalach, I'll bring you healing. So the Iyar itself seems to mean healing. So let's look back at the Mitzvah, back at the copy. Vanirli hatam, what's the reason? The nishar hazeh b'skul b'chol shir hazeh. Why is this month the month that has this special designation? Dine kol achulshos v'acholayim al pi arov b'ayim min ha'maychalim she'enam lefi mezik ha'adam. You know, typical illness and weakness comes from foods that aren't appropriate for us. And we know that could be in short term, you know, overeating, food poisoning, etc. And long term, a person who lives a life eating unhealthy foods, unfortunately, it pays at the end. It pays them back at the end. In Iyar, the man began to fall. We mentioned last week, Lag BaOmer is the day that the man began to fall in the Midbar. Lechem Abirim, and the man is known as the food of the mighty ones, which Chazal say is the food of the Malachim. Lechem HaNivla Bevarim, and it means that the lechem, it's a food that's totally absorbed in the limbs. The man made no waste. The man was the absolutely most nutritious food ever to exist. similar to, let's say, like an IV that just the nutrition just gets pumped in. So this is actual food. But it was all nutrition. There was no waste. And the food of the man caused no illness, no pain, no sickness. It was the healthiest food you can imagine. Nimsa b'chodesh hazeh nisrapu kol chalayim. So it makes sense that in this month, when the man begins to fall, all illness is healed. Okay, nishar teva kayim b'chodesh hazeh segula refuah. So therefore, the nature of ER has remained since then a month with a segula for refuah. So that's what he explains. So he says that the source of ER, or what causes ER to have this special property of healing, is the man. That's what he says. So to take this into other terms, I think that there's two things that are kind of meeting in ER. There's physical health and spiritual health. The man, also the be'er, it doesn't have it here, but later on he explains the be'er of Miriam, that the water, the well, also first started giving water in ER. Same thing, there's a source for that later on. I don't have it in the copies, but it's from Seder Olam Rabbah, the Medrash. It says on the 23rd of ER, they traveled to Rephidim, and in Rephidim is where they got the be'er. So ER was the month responsible for both the man and the be'er. So we're talking here, the man and the be'er were very interesting because they weren't just physical food. They were spiritual and physical together. It was certainly our physical nourishment, but also the man and the be'er were spiritual foods. There was no waste created. It was totally alpinase. It was something which was out of this world in many ways. So they were physical and spiritual nourishment. Now Chazal tells us, the Torah was given to those who eat the man. I mean, the man prepared them to receive the Torah. And that was because the man gave them both physical health and gave them sort of spiritual sensitivity, a spiritual health as well. So to prepare for Kabbalah Satorah, we have to care for our body and soul. So ER is a month where we have this concept of physical health, but certainly the physical health also is for spiritual health. They go together. The man and the bear provide both types of health, and we know that physical health alone is not valuable if not used for appropriate activities in life. So ER is a month to focus on our health, but from both perspectives, physical and spiritual. And to explain that for a second, you know, the neshama is impacted by the body. Now, that's very clear. When the body feels sick or sluggish, so it's very hard to be in tune with our neshama. You know, we don't feel as in control of our midos. Our davening is not quite the same. You know, we lose our temper more often. Lolenu, when somebody dies, neshama leaves them. The physical body and the neshama have to mesh. They have to stick together. And so you have to have a strong, healthy physical body to really be in touch with your neshama. I think that we've experienced that. Also, the activities we do, physical activities, impact our neshama. We know that, we saw in a few weeks ago in the Parsha, in Kiddushim, it says, "Nitmesim bam." The word "nitmesim" there, without the aleph, "nitmesim bam" means timtum halev. You know, your heart gets clogged, is the terminology Chazal use, which doesn't mean a heart attack, chas v'shalom, it means a spiritual clog. There's a concept that we can spiritually be clogged up. You know, and it says that non-kosher foods create timtum halev. It makes our spiritual hearts clogged, insensitive. You know, we can't be in touch with Ruchnius, with Hashem, because we clog our bodies up. This comes from our physical actions. Averas that we do, foods that we eat, bad minos that we have, they're not just bad for us because Hashem will punish us in the future for doing the wrong things or something like that. It's bad for us right now because it causes our body to be less spiritual, less in touch with Hashem, and much more connected to the physical world. We can lose our ability to sense Ruchni, sense Hashem. You know, at times we get frustrated because we want to connect. We want to have a good davening, we want to have a good yantif, we want to have a good Shabbos, we want to be able to be in control of our midos and be able to treat people nicely. And we find it difficult to find that in ourselves. Like, why am I not connecting? And we don't realize this, but often there's a spiritual answer to that, which is that you've created timtum halev. You know, we've done things in life that have caused a blockage. You know, it's like clogged arteries, chas v'shalom. You know, that type of blockage, therefore our neshama gets clogged up, and we just can't sense it, even though it's right there. So ER, when we're getting ready for Kabbalah Satorah, it comes that we have to have a physical, healthy body, but also means we have to have spiritual health. Spiritual health meaning that we have to work on timtum halev. Any of these blockages and clogs that we've created in our lives, that's the way to avoid those. And we mentioned before that the letter of ER is the letter Vav. And Vav is the connecting letter. Vav HaChibur connects. Because the purpose of ER is to be a means to an end. It's supposed to connect us to Sivan and to Shavuos. It's not meant to be its own goal. It's a connecting month. It's to get us there. So the Be'er and the Man, they cleanse us. They give us physical nourishment. but they also cleanse the neshama. And all these spiritual blockages that we create, the be'er and the man have the ability to remove from us, because the physical food impacts the neshama and vice versa. So these things cleanse us, but beyond that, we have to be able to drive away, actively drive away the tumah as well. So to paint the picture, so we're describing that we have the physical body helps us be in contact with the neshama, but also we have spiritual unhealthy elements in ourselves which block us. So man and be'er of ER help us connect with that. There's another point as well, which is that during ER, there's another very important event which happened in the Midbar. And that event was the battle against the Malek. That very first battle in the Midbar was during ER. And it's very clear in the Psukim, because Lef Mitzrayim, they're on the way to Har Sinai, and Amalek attacks somewhere in the middle over there. So that's in the month of Iyar. And then we have sources for that. Because Amalek represents to us this tumah, this blockage. Now Amalek comes to stop us from connecting to Hashem. They say, you can't connect to Hashem. You're stuck in this world. You're totally physical. You're material. You just enjoy your meal. Forget about God. That's Amalek. And they fight us in the month of Iyar. It says that we fought Amalek in Rephidim. Rephidim was a city, it was a place. Because I'll say it stands for roughly a day in Torah. We got weak, we got lazy from Torah. Because we got schlepped too much into the physical, and Amalek comes to attack at that point, because Amalek says, we have an in. And Amalek wants to inject within us this lack of desire to serve Hashem. They want to take us away from feeling spiritual. That's their goal. That's their whole purpose of existence, Amalek. So during ER, we have to fight off Amalek, and we succeeded in ER. We were able to fight them off. It took a lot of work, but at the end we were able to succeed. And in ER, we get the Mar and the Be'er to promote. So you have the proactive, I'm promoting my good health with the Mar and the Be'er, and I'm fighting away the bad influences by fighting away Amalek. So this is the picture of ER as we're trying to paint it right now. It's a month where we're working on physical and spiritual health to be in touch with our neshamas and to be able to connect more with Hashem, be more sensitive in Ruchnias. And we spoke about how to become, you know, the proper Adam, that we should be a human being that's able to receive Torah. But the other aspect of this is the following. When you're developing ourselves to be the proper Kli, the proper vessel to receive Torah, we have to realize the power we have within. I mean, very often, we'll see a piece in a second in the Shem Yishmul. Now, very often we think that my problem is I have to do a lot more to connect. And sometimes the answer is no, you don't have to do more, you have to just find yourself. If you're able to pull away all the layers, like we said, the clogs, you know, all the different obstructions we've made between us and our neshama, the neshama can just shine right through and you can connect. I don't have to do more, I have to just dig into myself and find my neshama. But often we miss that point. Instead of trying to find the neshama within and ridding ourselves of all these layers that block us, we try to like do more and more things which overwhelm us, don't make us feel connected. So there's a piece here from the Shem Yishmul. Should be the next page, I think, in the packets I handed out. And he brings up another point about ER, a very interesting point. And I want to learn through this together. Let's see that one. Shem Yishmul, I put an arrow there. Rosh Chodesh ER. So he says, Yini Chodesh Zen Nikra Chodesh Ziv. ER is referred to as the month of Ziv. In Tanakh, the month of Ziv is ER. It's the same month. It's called Chodesh Ziv. The word Ziv means like a shine, like a ray. Radiance. That's Ziv. So it's the month of some sort of shine, some sort of rays. We have to understand what that means. So he explains, let's get down to underline, V'li yesh l'hosif is advarim. Skip a few lines down. So he wants to add on to a point he was quoting before. And he says, I want to see this page? The Shem Yishmul, this one. What else? I think everyone else has it, I think. Good. You'll confuse. So.
Yeah.
Hine b'chodesh nisan ha'isais galos elokus. In Nisan, there's a revelation of God. Ad shekol akochos achumriyim nechnu l'kedusha, that until the revelation of Nisan, of Pesach, was so powerful that all of our physical, material elements within ourselves were totally subjugated to Kedusha, to Hashem's holiness. Kedechsiv yedu Mitzrayim kinei Hashem. Mitzrayim will know I'm Hashem, meaning it'll be forced upon us. Hashem came in Mitzrayim, and he forced us to ignore all the physical and see the spiritual. And Haggadah we say that Hashem revealed himself and redeemed us. Because Hashem revealed his godliness in such a powerful way, all of the external elements, the physical, material, external elements, they all were humbled. They were destroyed and subjugated, and therefore we perceived Hashem. So to put into terms we've been using, you know, in ourselves we have all these things that block us from feeling Hashem. So on Pesach, Hashem just had such a powerful relationship, just shot right through it all. So if you could picture, you know, we have the neshama, and it's covered up by layers and layers and layers of things we've done wrong. So the neshama doesn't feel Hashem. But when the Hashem is so powerful, Hashem just, you know, just shoots right through it. You know, it just pierces all those layers of blockages, and then the neshama feels it. And that's the idea of Pesach. The Geula of Mitzrayim was so powerful. No matter who you were, the Jews were in the 49th level of Tumah, Chazal tell us. We were in the lowest point we could be. And despite that, Mitzrayim as well, despite that, Hashem took this revelation, his incredible Gilui Shechina, and he just poked through all these layers, destroyed them, and we all felt the Ruchnis. We felt Hashem, we felt the Shechina. And that's why the mazel of Nisan is the tue, it's the sheep, because a sheep stands for humility. A sheep, we know, a sheep follows. A sheep is considered a very, very humble, tame animal that follows others. Matzah rosho shozeh, but saznamo shozeh. The way the sheep walk, they have the one's head is the other one's tail. I mean, very, very humble way. Valkenaya ora loki meir lokulam b'shaveh. So on Pesach, Hashem's light was so powerful, every single person received it in the same way. Because it wasn't the individual based on their own personal avodah. It was just Hashem's power just shooting through to everybody. Because the or which Hashem shone on Pesach, it wasn't because of our personal efforts and our achievements, it's because of Hashem's power. So the fence, the screen, the separate between us and Hashem was totally destroyed. Everybody was equally privileged to experience Hashem. What's Iyar about? In Iyar there was no revelations of Hashem. Pesach was a revelation, so was Sivan. Sivan was Shavuos, Mahar Sinai. Iyar, you know, as we look at it, it's kind of boring. You know, between Pesach and Shavuos, Iyar, nothing much happened in Iyar. I mean, they fought Amalek and stuff, but in terms of the bigger picture, that wasn't so exciting compared to Pesach and Shavuos. So in Iyar, the material elements, the physical elements of ourselves that block our neshama, don't let us perceive Hashem, those were not batal. They weren't broken by Hashem in Iyar. Hashem left them alone. There was no revelation of Hashem to burst through them, so they were there. We had this fence, we had this blockade that was keeping us from feeling Hashem. And they separate between us and the divine light. And the light can't come through to the hearts of Klal Yisrael. Except if every individual purifies himself or herself. And they remove from themselves pettiness, they remove from themselves this concept of Hashem being hidden, concealed. So therefore in Iyar, everybody on their own level has to work, refine themselves, become greater in Midos, in Avodas Hashem, and that will itself thin these layers that block between us and Hashem's light, and therefore Hashem can shine through. But that's individual Avodah. On Pesach, it wasn't the individual, it was Hashem just shining forth His light. In Iyar, it's up to us. You know, everybody is stuck with their own personal fences, and it's up to us to break those fences. And that's the idea of Shemazalo Shor. In Iyar, the mazel of Iyar is the shore, it's the ox. Like it says in Yeshaya, Yada Shor Konehu, Umara Shakohul Fi Erecha Karaso. It says that an ox knows his master. So therefore that tells us the Iyar is all about a person recognizing his or her own level. It's an individual idea. Uksiv Noda Besharam Bala. We say in Eshes Chayil that her husband is known in the gates. And there's a famous quote from the Zohar on this. The Zohar says, it learns the idea of Sha'arim as like Shi'urim, like amounts. And Kol Chad V'chad Lefum Ma'ad Meshar Belibe. So everybody can connect to Hashem based on what he or she is able to feel in their hearts. This Noda B'Sharm Ba'la, a person knows the husband, knows Hashem based on their own personal shi'ur, their own personal work and efforts. That's why Chodesh Iyar is called the month of Ziv, the month of the shine, the rays. There's rays left from Nisan. Nisan was like the powerful, like blinding light of the sun. Iyar, you know, the rays are left. Hashem leaves the ability to receive him in the world, but it's not the power of Nisan. Vaziv eno yachol lahayir derech machitza achura. But if there's a blockage, if there's a curtain, the rays can't shine through. So we know, we have there's blinds in the window, so the sun can't shine through the blinds because it's blocking it. And that's our neshamas. You know, the aura is there, and it wants to shine through. We want to connect with Hashem, but we have this blockage on our neshama, which doesn't allow us to feel it. El derech zechuchas shel, but the sun could shine through glass if it's a clear glass. Shelchein ein yad kulam shavibo. So it says in the Chumash that in this month they came to the city of Elim. It says in the Chumash, there's a very, very mysterious few psukim in the Chumash right after they left the Yamsuf. It says they came to the place of Elim and they had no water and they found there 12 wells and 12 springs. It doesn't say much more about that in the Chumash. It's kind of like a mysterious parsha there. So what does it mean symbolically that water refers to Torah? So they got to this place, they found 12 springs, and we know springs are a mashal for Torah. It means that every shevet had their own personal spring that fit that shevet. Meaning they had an individual avoda. There wasn't just one big stream for all of Klal Yisrael. Every shevet was treated uniquely, because it's based on everyone's avoda as an individual, in terms of how they connected to Hashem and the Torah. So he's painting for us a very interesting picture of Iyar now. Iyar is the month where you don't have that huge, sunlight, that huge shine, the rays of Pesach that are shining through. You have some faint rays left from that Gilui, which really are around all the time, those rays. Hashem's light is always shining in the world. So on Pesach, when we were in Mitzrayim, no matter who you were, you felt it, because it was so powerful, it burned right through all those mechitzos. All of these blockades we had, the curtains and all the layers of gluk on top of our neshamas, that light burned right through. In Iyar, we don't have that because the light's not so strong anymore. So if we want to feel that light, what we have to do is we have to thin out the curtains. We have to go in ourselves and figure out what's causing these curtains, causing this blockade, and we have to remove it. So in Iyar, that's really our job. I guess the mashal I would give, let's say, like a dog whistle. So it makes a sound, but we can't hear it because we don't have the right ears. So Hashem is shining through in Iyar. But we don't, and really the rest of the year, besides Pesach, Hashem is always shining through, but it's not as powerful as Pesach, so we can't feel unless we have the right tools to feel it. So our physicality, our averus, our connections to this world, they block this light. But the light's always shining. So you put up an opaque screen, it blocks it out. If you get a more of a transparent screen, something which is much more thin, the light can shine through, so then we're going to feel it ourselves. The more physical we are, the more it's blocked out. The more spiritual we become, the more it shines in. So when we get to the issue of, I want to feel more spiritual, I want to feel more connected, I want to feel Hashem in a much more palpable way. So the answer is not always, well, do more and more and more. The answer could be, well, just refine who you are. Realize what's causing the rays to be blocked and try to thin it out and remove it. And the more we refine ourselves and we become more elevated people, and we break away from selfishness, physicality, connections with physical pleasures, and we try to become above that. So the screen gets thinner, thinner, and thinner, and the rays can shine through. When the rays shine through, we really, really feel it. So that's Chodesh Ziv. And the fact that Iyar is Chodesh Ziv is telling us that these rays are here, and we have to receive them. It's up to us to receive them. And this leads us into Matan Torah, because Matan Torah is where Hashem says, the Torah is for every individual, and you have to be ready to receive it. So if you're able to receive those rays, if you're ready to see the light and to feel it, so then you can have the Torah. But you have to be ready for that. And to me, this is a much better concept, because we're saying the natural state of an Adam, of a human being, of a Jew especially, is to be connected. Now, by default, we are connected to Hashem. The Neshama is there, and it's strong, and the Neshama receives those rays. It's because of our averos and our bad midos, and what we do, we block it, and we block it, and we put another layer, and another layer, and another fence, and another fence, and another fence. It's a pasuk, avonoseichem avdilim beinichem v'inolkechem. The pasuk says that it's your averos that separate between you and Hashem, you and your God. So these walls, we can't feel, because we put all these walls and covers over our neshama. That's what we've done. But the default of the human being is that we should be able to feel. And it's just a matter of uncovering what's there, and suddenly we'll feel that. So that's one of the big avos of Chodesh Iyar. So it's not necessarily more mitzvos. It's taking check of, well, how do we live our lives? How connected are we with the physical? Are we careful with what we eat and how we eat? Are we careful what we say and how we say it? And the more that we refine ourselves, we thin out those thick layers and the lights shine through. Now there's another, even I think, deeper ramification of this. And this goes to another point. You know, on the original chart I gave out months ago, so every single month had a letter and had a mazel, and also had a body part, a limb or an organ. I don't think we discussed any of the organs yet on that list, right? But again, there's so much to discuss. We could spend months and months on each month. But the Sefer Yetzirah says that the organ of ER is the right kidney, right? The right kidney, not the left one, the right one, right? So the question is, what does that mean? Like, what does it mean the right kidney is the organ of ER? So
it cleanses the body, you said.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't think about that. That's very interesting. The kidneys cleanse out. That's a very good connection, right? I didn't think about that one even. You
know? I don't know why, the right one.
Yeah, right. But kidneys, you're right. Kidneys cleanse the body. That's a very good point. I think that's an excellent point. But even furthermore, you know, in the Chumash and in Tanakh and in the writings of Chazal, kidneys have an interesting association, right? What are kidneys associated with? Anyone know? Advice. Itza, right? In the Chumash itself, the word the kidneys are referred to in a few places as he'atzeh, which we translate as kidney, but atzeh is the same word as etzeh, advising, advice. And there's a term we say klayos yoatzos, that the kidneys advise a person. It's strange to know what this means, because like our kidneys don't seem to talk to us, don't seem to advise us in any way. So a friend of mine actually showed me recently a scientific study that there is some sort of chemical release in the kidneys that does impact like your brain or something. I didn't read the whole article, it was too scientific for me, but there is definitely something physical in the kidneys that is released, that impacts your brain, that help you make decisions. That there's an article about that I read recently. But on the broader, more philosophical level, it's a description, I think. I always understand the kidneys as our instincts. You know, for instance, I have a gut feeling. You know, it's our instincts. What do you feel in your gut? That's a term we use in English all the time. And this idea of a gut instinct, you know, if a person has good instincts, then the gut usually is a good instinct. If a person has bad instincts, then the gut feeling is usually a bad instinct. Right? But that's our gut, that's our kidneys. So I'm going to read one more piece in the packet here. Rav Tzadok. I don't remember, I put it over here. There it is. That's the one that says Rosh Chodashim on top. So let's start at the bottom right column. I think I put a little arrow over there. He discussed the idea of the kidneys being the organ of ER. V'amar dekuya yimanas benefesh. So it said that in the terms of the person, the right kidney is the organ of ER. So what does this mean? Pimat isa begemara klayos yotzos. So the Gemara tells us that our kidneys advise us. Achas yotzos l'tova. One kidney gives you good advice. V'achas is aram. One kidney gives you bad advice. So it makes sense. So it makes sense the right one is the good advice and the left one is the bad advice. Typically in Chazal and in Tanakh, right is always considered the good side and left is the bad side. If you're lefty, don't worry, because the left hand of a lefty is actually called the right hand in halacha. Right hand means the stronger hand, that's what it means. So when halacha talks about a lefty, it says yamin shiloh. You know, his right is his, because he's a lefty. That's his right. So it's not right and left in direction. It's in terms of strength, the stronger and weaker hand. So the lev chacham is the yamino, and the lev ksil is the smolo. So we assume the right kidney is the one that gives good advice, and the left kidney is the one that gives bad advice. And if to put it in terms we said before, you know, we have instincts sometimes. And sometimes we have conflicting instincts, you know. Part of me says do X, part of me says do Y, you know. And that's my gut feeling. So it says that Sham hu mishkan nefesh. Actually, I'm sorry, I skipped a line. The lev gamkin nemar lev chacham limino lechsel v'smolo v'sham hu mishkan hanefesh hadam hu hanefesh pe'moach chacham v'shemoach. So the nefesh resides in the lev and in the brain. But we don't find that the klayos contain wisdom. I mean, physically for sure, not even spiritually. We don't have any source that the kidneys are some sort of platform for wisdom to rest upon. It doesn't make really much sense to us. Like the Medrash says, Heichan chachma mitzui. Where do you find wisdom? Rebozer Omer Barosh, Rishua says, believe. So no one says the kidneys. It's either the head or the heart. And you know, the head would be the intellect, the heart would be emotions maybe. But we don't find a concept of the kidney having wisdom. But it says about the kidneys, they get advice somehow. So even though they don't have wisdom, they advise. It says in the pasuk in Tehillim that you've desired emes betuchos in my innards, like in my kidneys. Uvesasum chachmatudieni, and in the hidden parts you'll inform me of wisdom. Betuchos means your kidneys. It says in the Zohar, based on a pasuk, that you've done pela, you've done wonders, etzos mirachok, advice from afar. Pela kamod dechsev vayikra shmo pela. Etzos kemada amar yoetz mirachok dechsev mirachok shem nirali. Hainu shashir zbarach nasa meklaios. This means that Hashem has given in the kidneys pela yoetz, an incredible advisor, mor harish hashem pela, from the original light of the world called pela. That can strengthen the right kidney to give you good advice. So we have to explain a little more of this. Obviously, we'll explain in a second. But the picture he's painting is that it's not wisdom. That's in the intellect, maybe you call it in the heart. But there's something called advice, which resides in the kidneys. And you can strengthen the right kidney to give you good advice. So that's the next paragraph, and this really explains what this means. V'zesh isa b'medrash b'avram avinu. This is what it says in the Medrash about Avram Avinu. Nasu shtei klayosav kishtei kaden shomayim. It says about Avraham, how did he learn Torah? Avram was there long for matan Torah. He didn't have a rabbi, he didn't have a father to teach him Torah. Where did he get Torah from? So the Medrash says that his kidneys became like two flasks of water, vaynovos Torah, and they would just burst forth with Torah. So his kidneys taught him Torah. Lomar shenasu chokma b'libo, it didn't say his heart, l'mochor, his brain. It didn't say that. Because the truth is, with the intellect, how can you understand all of Torah? Torah is limitless, and the human mind can't do all that much. I mean, we can do a lot, but Torah is infinite. There's a story. I think it's the Arizal, that one of his students came when he was sleeping, and he saw him like muttering in his sleep. And he woke up and he asked him, well, what were you learning in your sleep? Arizal, we know, was the famous Mekovel. And you know, so when he was sleeping, he was actually learning with Malachim, all sorts of things. He writes down in his Sfarim about what he did when he was sleeping, things we can't even imagine. But he told his student, you know, when I was sleeping, I learned so much Torah that I couldn't tell it over to you in a whole lifetime. Meaning, because when you're not in this world bound by time, you can accomplish a lot more. Because the human mind is bound by time. So when you're awake and you're using your mind to learn, so you can only do so much. And you could do a lot. You know, in a good 80, 90, 100 years, Mirtzah Hashem, you could do a lot of learning. But still, the mind's still limited because it's still physical and bounded by time. The Arizal, in his sleep with Malachim, when he was out of the world of time, he could do a lot more in 3 seconds than we could do in a lifetime. That's what he told his students. Pretty amazing story. But the point we're saying here is that, so the mind can't understand the Torah. So how did Abraham learn the whole Torah? Where did it come from? But his two kidneys that were his great advisors, they would burst forth with wisdom, and through that he understood the entire Torah. Etc. So it says that Hashem's secrets go to those who fear him, goes to those who are yashar and those who are Nevi'im, and Avraham encompassed it all. So let's put this in other terms, because I think this is a very powerful point that fits the whole discussion we've been having. When we talk about the kidneys, or we talk about instincts, talk about Avraham Avinu learning from his kidneys, I mean, it's just such a strange thing to us to think what that means. The kidneys aren't there talking to you, they're not really teaching you. What exactly does it mean? How do we achieve advice from our kidneys? What would that mean exactly? And the answer we said before, the neshama is there, inside the person. And our physical bodies are impacted by our neshama, and really our instincts should be spiritual instincts. And, you know, those things which to us are axioms and just so simple should be the emes of Torah, because that's what the neshama is there and it does for us. The problem, if we inherently connect to the neshama, so then that connection is so strong that you connect the entire Torah into Hashem. The problem is, like we said, that we block it and we dirty it and we put on these layers and layers of fences on top of it, and then therefore we can't access the neshama Tahora. And our feeling of our neshama is a very, very faint feeling because we have so much physicality which blocks over it. But if we could refine ourselves to the point where the neshama is actually in touch with us, so then the good advice, as it were, the wisdom just kind of flows through. When we talk about the concept of Das Torah, you go to the Greek Gadol as Das Torah, So part of the idea is that that person, we assume, has worked so hard for so many years in refining himself that even though he hasn't necessarily learned about the topic anywhere in the Torah, he's so in tune with Hashem and Ruchnius, his neshama is just so powerful, just the emes just shines through. And therefore what he says, we know is coming from a source of emes, because he's uncovered all the wares of his neshama, and the neshama can just teach, and the neshama just kind of speaks out on its own. So Avraham Avinu was able to learn Torah from his kidneys because he had achieved so much as a person, his chesed, his midos, his removing himself from physicality, sacrificing it all for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he uncovered the neshama. And much of the battle really is not the accumulation of information, but it's the clearing of the blockages there. You know, you unclog a pipe and the water just kind of flows through. When the pipe is blocked, the water can't come. You take out the blockage and you have a flood coming out. You know, that's what happens. So our neshama is like that. If we can unblock it, the more we take off those layers, the more neshama comes through. If you succeed to unblock it as far as Avraham Avinu, then you can say, my kidneys teach me Torah, because it means my instincts become Torah. That's what it becomes. Everything I think and do becomes Torah-dic. I once heard an idea, I'm not sure of the source, but Avraham Avinu. It says at the Akedah, it says, V'yishlach HaZeh, he sent out his hand to grab the knife, L'shkoros b'no l'shech the son. So a lot of Mefarshim deal with the term, he sent his hand out. What does that mean? He sent out his hand. And one answer given is that Avram was somebody who was so in touch with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, with his neshama, that every action he did was always Ratzon Hashem. And his body just automatically did it. He didn't have to struggle with his body, it just went. Because he was so in touch with Ruchnius, just he did it. Just, his body just went and did the right thing. So the strange thing was, the Akedah, his hand didn't go. He wanted to grab the knife because Hashem said so, and his hand wasn't going. He had to actually send out his hand to get it. And the truth is, because Hashem didn't want him to kill Yitzchak. So Avraham didn't realize that, and Avraham listened to the instructions and did it. But deep down, it was not Ratzon Hashem that he kills Yitzchak. So had it been, Avraham's hand would have gone automatically. Because Avraham was so in touch with the spiritual world, everything was just natural to him. Because of the Akedah, Hashem didn't want Avraham to kill Yitzchak, then his hand didn't go. And he had to send it out, you know, the Kavana, to grab the knife. That's the idea I once heard. But it shows Avraham was on such a level that he was just the spiritual world, the Ruchnius, the Neshama, Hashem, just clicked with him. And just, everything was just natural in that way. So Torah just flowed out of his own instincts. And he instinctually was able to infer from life and from the world the entire Torah. So to me, this is such an incredible idea, because it shows the power of the human being. It's unbelievable the abilities that we have inside of us if we can just, you know, uncover the pure Neshama within. You know, people become greater and greater, the energy, the wisdom, the drive, the motivation, everything is there if we can just tap into that source. It's very hard. The Timtum Alev is very, very difficult. And so many things that we say and do and see and eat, you know, cause more and more Timtum. But if we're sensitive to it, then we can uncover that, and then the Neshama starts bursting forth. In many ways, the Klayos, this idea of the kidneys, it can do much more for us than our brains. You know, our brain has to be fed the emes. We have to tell our brains, teach our brains the Torah. The kidneys just know it. If the neshama is opened up, the kidneys just know the Torah. We don't have to tell it anything. It's just kind of there. For Avraham, he didn't have to learn it. It was just there. He just found it. It's within. If you want to use your brain, so you have to sit down, you have to read Sfarim, listen to Shiurim, and you have to think, and that gets very difficult and more limited. But if we can just get the kidneys to be in touch with Hashem, then phew, just all keeps coming. And that advice is there, and the truth is there. And that's Iyar. So there's a kind of avoda which is not proactively gaining more and more mitzvahs, like we said, but it's to take away the Timtum Alev. Now the Ziv of Iyar is shining through. That's Iyar. And we're getting ready for Matan Torah. And we have the goal here is to develop the proper Kli. So the human being that Hashem has to give a Torah to is the human being that's in touch with the Neshama. That's the human being. And Hashem says, I want to give the Torah to an Adam. Adam's greatest virtue is that the Adam can be spiritual. That's Adam. We mentioned last week, Adam meh. Adam can emulate Hashem. Adam can be on a higher level. And the way Adam does that is just tearing away all these things that block us and just living with our neshama. And once we have that, then we are the ideal Kli Kibbol to receive the Torah. It's interesting, you know, they say the Gematria 49 of the Omer is Lev Tov. A good heart. Which you could say is the Taharas HaLev. It's to develop the purity of the heart. To prepare for Matan Torah. By purifying the body, giving the body its needs, and that means that we talked about the man and the be'er, you know, the food. So for us, we don't have the man, we don't have the be'er, but, you know, kosher food does that for us as well. Where we find the idea of tintum alev is primarily by non-kosher foods. That you eat non-kosher foods, that blocks the heart, that blocks the neshama, and that makes a person less sensitive to ruchnius. Kosher food makes you more sensitive to ruchnius. If we're less materialistic, if we care less about physicality in the physical world, that allows the neshama to shine through. This leaves the guf much more refined, and that's able to sense the ziv, this shine of Yar. I think I may have mentioned this before at some point over the past few months in the class, but I just want to share it again. The Rambam in two places says an astounding thing. The reason it's astounding is because he's saying it not as a philosophy, but as halacha. And I always find that to be very powerful because, you know, when you're saying philosophy, so you're not paskening a shaila based on it. When you're saying a halacha, that means it's a serious business. I mean, it all should be serious business, but when the Rambam says it as halacha, it's very serious. The Rambam tells us a halacha in Hilchos Gerushin. It comes to giving a get. So we know there's a concept of forcing a get. You know, a man has to give a get to a woman based on his own free will. It's not supposed to be coerced out of him. But yet, there's a concept you could coerce a man to give a get. And the old question is why? I mean, if it has to be out of his own free will, how is it kosher if you have to give it under coercion? And the truth is, if you ever see a get given, unfortunately, and in Ravana Mirzasal used to give getin in his office in the yeshiva. He used to call on people in the yeshiva to be Adam on the get or Bezdin for the get. So unfortunately, I had to see many getin over my time in the yeshiva. I guess it was an experience just to see how it works, but it was unfortunate. But the questions they ask are always, you know, are you giving this get based on your free will? Did anybody force you to give the get? You know, did anybody force you to receive the get? And these are the questions that are being asked because it has to be given out of our own free will. But yet, there's a halacha, it's quoted in the Mishnah, and it's practiced here and there, for better or for worse, that you could coerce the get out of a person, and we say it's kosher. And the Rambam must explain, why is that? It doesn't make any sense. It has to be done based on your own free will. And how can you take a baseball bat and say, give the get or else? How can you do that? Well, what's that? How would that be a kosher get? It's a joke. And the Rambam says an amazing thing, and he's saying this in one of the most serious of halachas possible, talking about marriage and divorce and possibilities of mamzerim and all sorts of terrible things, adultery. And the Rambam says that if a person does not want to, let me go back one second. Misha tukfo yitzro hara. Somebody's yitzro hara pushes them not to do a mitzvah or do an avera, and they are physically beaten until they do what they're supposed to do, or they stop the avera. We don't call this coercion. We don't call this an onus. Rather, we say that, no, this is the person's real desire, and it was his own mind that was forcing him otherwise. Therefore, a person, a man, does not want to give a get. Being that he wants to be a Jew, and he wants to do mitzvos, and stay away from averos, it's the Yetzer Hara which is forcing him not to. When he is actually physically beaten until he gives this get, Achatashash Yetzer, that weakens the Yetzer Hara, and he says, Rotzani, I want it, that's considered Ratzon, that's considered his own free will. Which means the Rambam is saying every Jew deep down wants to do the right thing. The desire of a Jew is to do right. The Neshama is there. Desire of a Jew is to do right. The Yetzer Hara, unfortunately, clouds that desire, blocks us, you know, pushes the desire far back, deep under layers and layers and layers of things that we do wrong. But we have ways to uncover it. So obviously, we don't want to be beaten up to uncover it. We'd rather do it on our own right. But he's saying in a very serious halacha that when a person is coerced to give a get, the reason that's a valid get is because we say that is what the person really wants. And they needed a good beating to get that out of them. But once the Yitzhahara got weakened, when the person says, I want to do this, they're saying that not out of coercion, but out of the real rutzon of their heart. That was their deep desire, is to give that get. An amazing thing. He says it again in another context. The Rambam is talking about the Isser of Lifnei Iver. And one of the ideas of Lifnei Iver is that you're not supposed to show any support to those who do Averus. So we say, if you take someone who's doing an Avera and you encourage them or support them, that's called Lifnei Iver. Because why? You're causing a Jew to stumble even more. Now the question you can ask, Lifnei Iver means before a blind person, don't put a stumbling block. This person's not blind. This person is willingly doing averus. You have somebody who is not religious, and they enjoy on a weekly basis a cheeseburger. So they're not blind. I mean, they know what they're doing. They know that Jews don't eat cheeseburgers. They know they enjoy cheeseburgers, and they're eating cheeseburgers. And if I go over to that person and I say, you know, would you like another cheeseburger? You know, and give them a few dollars to go buy a cheeseburger. That's lifnei iver. That's what I've done. So, but why? Why is that called lifnei iver for a blind person? How's that person blind? So Rambam says that the person is considered blind to iver ve'eno roa derech emes mitevas liba, because the person's desires of the physical world, they're blinded from the truth. I mean, it's not just that they're being rebellious. The Rambam says, because of their physical taivas, that person cannot see the truth. They are blinded. But they have to be blinded from it. And if your eyes are open, you see the truth, because the Hashem is there. It's because they're blinded by their taivas, by their desires, that's why they don't see the truth. So lifnei iver is because this person is blind based on his own personal taiva. The taiva blinds the person. Without that, the person would certainly sense the truth. So there's two different examples the Rambam gives of where we say deep down the Jew is in touch with the Neshama, knows right and wrong, and has desire to do what's right in Hashem's eyes. But because of Averos, because of the Yetzer Hara, because of all these blockades and curtains and fences that we've made, that gets blocked out. And that's why they have the issues that they have. So the Adam, the human being, is the natural receptacle, the natural vessel to receive the Torah. And we're just going to maintain the human being. If we fall into behaviors like animals, and we follow our bad instincts, and we follow our taivas, and our desires, and our lusts, then we become animal-like, not human-like, and we're not the proper people anymore. So Iyar is a month of health, physical health and spiritual health. And the body, if it's sick, it can't take in its nourishment, so the neshama as well. If the neshama is sick, it can't take in what needs to take in either. If we're healthy on all levels, then we're zocha to the Shekhinah residing upon us, so we can connect to the Shekhinah. The Torah we know is given to Adam. And the vote of Iyar is really just to uncover what Adam really is. Adam is the neshama and the guf. Adam is someone in control of his or her midos. Adam is somebody who's able to reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the spiritual world. One of the terms used in the Gemara for a human being is a maveh. Maveh means someone who seeks, which is used in the pasuk in defense of davening. We're daveners. And being daveners means we have the ability to reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's who we are. Adam can emulate Hashem. Adam is made of a neshama and a guf. These are all characteristics of Adam. This is what Adam is. And if we can just find the Adam in ourselves, then we automatically connect. But the more we block that sense of what Adam is, the less connected we are. At our Sinai, Chazal say that all ailments and all illnesses were healed. The deaf could hear, and the blind could see, and everybody who was sick got healed at Har Sinai, because that's the totality of the person. It's the preparation to take in Shavuos, is that we should be healthy in all levels, so that our bodies and our shamas can totally be involved and feel that revelation. Questions?